church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 is our opening verse today. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Gracious Heavenly Father, I know you know what's on my heart for this message. And I know you know all of the thoughts that I've had in regards to this message. Father, I truly need your anointing to be able to speak what you've put on my heart in regards to this message. That I will be able to communicate clearly, Lord. So I ask for anointing. But Lord, I also ask for anointing upon the eyes and ears and hearts and minds in this place, Lord. Lord, that the worship time will have prepared our hearts and created good fertile soil for the seed of your word to be planted in. God, that we will see and hear and know and feel you, God, in the midst of this. So I thank you, Lord. Anoint us all by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I did forget that I got a message from Sister Ruby asking for prayer for her and Bill. Still a little bit of an adjustment to go from here to there and change so many things. So please lift them up in your prayers. So as we enter into our Easter season, our resurrection season, the thing that has been on my heart for the last few weeks and the things that you're going to notice is you're going to see more of the cross. For the next few weeks, it's been the banners that we ordered, and there's other things in the works. But we're going to focus a lot on the cross this Easter season. And I think the first thing before I start the Easter series that I'm going to do on the three crosses of Easter is to talk about the cross, because I think quite often we don't see the cross the way that sometimes we should see the cross. In fact, the message is called the curse of the cross. And I hope to make it clear what I mean by that. Because we see the cross, so many of us, if you grew up in church, you sang songs like the old Rugged Cross, right? Beautiful song, love it, no question. But it's in some of us, it's created this image of the cross that I don't think is a clear, crystal clear, correct picture of the cross. Because we see the cross as a beautiful, pretty, precious thing. We cling to the old rugged cross. Okay? We should. The cross is amazing, it's significant, and it's important. But everything about the cross is not pretty. In fact, most of the things about the cross are not pretty. They are very, very difficult things, very hard things. And in fact, they're a curse. They're a curse. When Jesus said to his disciples, when he said in Matthew 16:24, when he said, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I don't think we understand how offensive of a sentence, of a statement that was to the disciples. I think we think, oh, well, I just have to carry Jesus with me everywhere we go. I got to take up the cross and just carry Jesus with me everywhere I go. And yes, we should carry Jesus with us everywhere we go. But we have the benefit and the knowledge now, today, that they didn't have at the time when he said this to his disciples. Because we know that he died on the cross. And we know that he died on the cross for us. They didn't know he was going to die on the cross. And they didn't know he was going to die on the cross for them. They just knew that this man that they're following, that they're watching do miracles, and that they're seeing him do so many things, they just hear him say, take up your cross. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. They hear that, and it was an incredibly, incredibly offensive statement to them, to tell them that they should take up the cross. Because of what the cross meant in that time, it was incredibly offensive. It would have been somewhat similar that if we said, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you need to get arrested and go to jail. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you need to serve a life sentence. You need to go to the electric chair. You need to go to the gas chamber. You need to die of lethal injection. If you're going to follow Jesus, this is the kind of statement he made to them, and we completely overlook how severe the statement was and how offensive the statement was. He said, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And he said deny yourself because to truly... it's difficult, it's not easy, but to truly follow him, you must deny yourself in so many different areas and in so many different ways. We overlook it. We don't talk about it so much. We don't focus on it. We don't preach about it. We don't read about it. We don't learn about it. We read this verse and we go, yeah, I'll take up my cross, you know, I'll wear my cross pendant, you know, around my neck. Or you know, some of you might even have cross tattoos on your arms or some other place on your body. I'm not, whatever, is what it is. I'm not here to have a debate about tattoos and ink and all that. I'm just saying, we wear it too flippantly. I don't think we put, so many of us put the amount of thought into it. We just think, take up my cross. Well, I just have to carry Jesus with me. It's not what he's saying. It is, but it's not. But to really understand it, to really understand why I called it the curse of the cross, you really have to go back into the Old Testament to really understand what it was about this, that why I say the curse of the cross. And you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. It says, if a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day, for he who is hanged is cursed by God, so that you do not defile your land, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. You'll see that quoted in the New Testament. Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. That was taking up your cross. That was what he meant when he said, take up the cross. Be willing to identify with him, even to the point of taking on the cross. Well, Pastor, did he really mean that? Well, I don't know. Go through and look at how the disciples died. There wasn't a one of them that had a nice, pretty, easy death. In fact, I believe it was Peter who was hung upside down on a cross. Pretty sure Peter took up his cross. And I'm not, please don't misunderstand me. Don't think that I'm telling you that you have to die on a cross to really be following Jesus. Not saying that at all. What I'm trying to communicate, what I hope that I'm at least doing, I do somewhat of a good job is to change how we see the cross from it just being this pretty symbol that some of us have hanging all over our walls, that we have on our phones and on our computer screens, and we have in so many different places. I'm not saying take it down. I'm saying when you look at it, realize that that cross was a curse before it was a blessing. That it was a true curse before it ever became a blessing for us. It was a curse for him. And that when he told his disciples, take up your cross, he's telling them, take up the curse. You have to take up the curse to follow me. You have to be willing to give. You have to be willing to deny yourself. Denying yourself, myself, is one of our least favorite ideas and thoughts and things that we would ever want to do, right? Like some of us, we have this word that we use, and I think there's a lot of different things about the word. We have this word we use we call diet. A diet is basically just denying yourself, right? I love that the first three letters in diet say what they say. I just think it's incredibly, incredibly phenomenal, you know. And you got to throw the cross in there at the end, right? The T, just throw the cross up there at the end. But denying yourself is something that none of us like to do. We don't like to or want to deny ourselves. We want to have what we want to have, and by goodness, we want to have it now, you know. I'm not going to deny myself. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna make it happen. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, it's what I want. So by goodness, I'm gonna get what I want. Right? When he said deny yourself, we don't want to talk about that, Pastor. Let's not talk about that because it's almost lunchtime, and the time changed. So I didn't get to get up early enough to eat breakfast this morning and still make it to church on time. So I'm hungry. So let's not talk about denying ourselves. Lord, Pastor, don't even mention gluttony. Let's not talk about that today. This is not the day for that. If you were going to be hung from a tree, you were going to be considered cursed. That was the most cursed way for you to die. Whether it was hung by crucifixion, or you can go into Judas and see what happened with Judas and how he took care of it himself. That was the most cursed way to die. So when he tells them, take up your cross, he is speaking something to them that would have greatly, greatly offended not only the disciples, but anybody else who heard it. You want me to be cursed? Is that what you're telling me? Jesus, you want me to be cursed? No. Didn't want you to be cursed. But he wanted others to be blessed. See, he took up the cross not just because it was a curse to him, but because it would be a blessing to us. And when we deny ourselves and when we take up our cross, part of what our goal and responsibility and duties are in taking up our cross is to be a blessing to others and to bring to others the good news and the good word and the message of salvation and the message of healing and the message of divine power and the message of Jesus and all that he did. When we take up our cross, we're saying, I'm going to deny myself so that I can bless others. I'm going to deny myself so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. Because it's no longer about me. It's no longer about what I want. It's no longer about what I think is best for me. Because sometimes what's best for me isn't what's best for somebody else. And in this message, in these words, he's saying, Be willing to do what's best for others, even if it's not best for you. It's not an easy life. It's not an easy way to live. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy message to hear or to receive or to even speak, I can promise you, because it is telling people that they have to be willing to live a hard way and a hard life and face hard things. Because sometimes we have to, when we face hard things, it's so others don't have to. It's much like being a parent in so many ways. As a parent, you deal with the hard things so that your kids don't have to as much as possible. You take on the curse. You take on the responsibility. You take on the duty. You take on the sleeplessness. You take on the moments where I remember when we were a young married couple with our first child, with Jacob, and I don't know about all you, but when we were young, married, with a baby, we struggled financially, greatly, greatly struggled financially. So much so that I can remember my mom saying something about, can we buy Tammy one new pair of pants or something, because she's worn those overalls. She had these overall short things that she wore. I swear, I don't have very many pictures of Jacob when he's that small that she's not wearing those overalls. And I remember my mom saying, can we buy her something else? I'll pitch in. I'll help pay for it. I said to my daughter-in-law the other day, We had gone to see Miles, and she was in something different. And I said, oh, hey, you're not wearing those same clothes I've seen you every time for the last 6 or 7 weeks that we've come to see Miles. It's just one of those things. As a mom, you sacrifice whatever for your kids. As a dad, we do some of the same things. We sacrifice for our children. Jesus' sacrifice. No, we're not his child or his children, but we are his brothers and sisters according to the word. And so he sacrificed for us. He was giving it up for us. And he was also trying to instruct the disciples before it was even time for them to do it, because you need to know it before you have to do it. He was saying, take up your cross and follow me. Because the curse was going to be transferred from Jesus to them. And it should be transferred from them to us. And no, that's not the fuzzy message. It's not the flowers and daisies and tulips and roses and that's not the that but I'm telling you, if we think that that's the message of the book that we study and that we read and that we want and believe can affect and change our lives, we're reading the wrong book. Because my book is full of hard, difficult things. The book that I study and the book that I read is full of hard, difficult things. Like when someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other. That's easy, right? None of us have anger issues and, you know, have our fist balled up before they've ever even swung. None of us have any kind of issues like that. We don't deal with anger at all. None of us do, I know. None of us. Or venture into 1 Corinthians 13. Start reading those kind of things like, love keeps no record of wrongs. Now, guess I need to throw that list away. Guess I need to burn that list, because I remember them all. There's just nothing about the scriptures when I read it that is easy for me to accept and understand and do with no sacrifice at all. To follow him requires sacrifice. It just does. Because there are times and moments and things that you're going to want to do because you want to do them, and the Lord's going to speak to you in a moment and say, that's really not what's best for you. I have a different way. I have a better way. Because His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts higher than my thoughts. We read this and this take up your cross and follow me, and we see too many easy, simple, beautiful things that aren't there. They just aren't there. I've come to this realization over the last few weeks as the Lord has been speaking to me about the cross, and I've been sharing it with a few people here and there that I've come had conversations with, and almost without fail, we all, like so many of us, know it. If you grew up in church, if you've read, if you've studied, if it's been a part of your life for a period of time, you know it, but yet the message isn't being preached in a way that we hear it enough, because church wants to encourage and build up and lift up. Pastors want to encourage you and build you up and lift you up, and we should. It's one of the jobs we should do. I would never want you to leave Sunday morning and feel like you've been beat up. It's not my goal. It may have happened once or twice. It was never my intent. If it did, Pastor Hawkins told me years ago, the pulpit's not a whipping post. He said, they catch it every day out in the world. They don't need it when they come to church too. He told me that more than once. But I don't want to change everything about how you see the cross. But we're about to enter into the season where we're going to celebrate. Isn't this amazing? We're going to celebrate His death on the cross. Why? Because He died on the cross for us. That means that He denied Himself. That as we're going to go through this series, as we're going to go through and look at different things that were said and about the different people that were on the cross and around the cross and different things, there's so many things that He could have done and said, even those around Him who said, you know, why don't you just call down angels and save us, right? And He could have. He was Jesus. He could have. But it wasn't a part of God's plan, and He knew that. We so often have this thought or this idea that this Christian life, this following of Jesus, is this easy, simple, light thing. And yes, Jesus Himself said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Right? He said that, but it gets easier the longer you carry it. Right, you look at, we don't have teams of mules or horses that often anymore, but I can promise you that the older teams of horses and mules, they carry that yoke way better than the younger ones because they've carried it long enough. They've learned how to carry it. And we have to learn how to carry the cross. We have to learn, because it's not easy and it's not light, but it gets lighter and it gets easier over time, because you get stronger and you get better able to carry it. And I've been thinking about the man who they gave the cross to as Jesus was trying to carry it to Calvary. They gave it to the other man to carry because Jesus couldn't carry it all the way. And then there's some of us who are going to have to be the one that's going to have to carry it for somebody else at times, because they're going to be struggling to carry it themselves. Don't tell me it's always going to be easy. We're going to have brothers and sisters in this church who are going to struggle at carrying their cross, and we have to be willing to stand up and step up and help them carry it. And we have to carry it for those non-believers. This podcast I was listening to, not this week, but the week before, and it said, do you want non-believers in your church? And there was hesitation by some people. my goodness, why would we ever hesitate to have non-believers in the church? If that's our heart, if that's what we're thinking and how we're thinking and the way that we're trying to do and operate, then man, we are so far off base. We're so far away from where he's called the church to be. If we even hesitate to wonder whether we want non-believers in the church or not. But to have non-believers in the church, we have to take up the cross. We have to be the ones. They're not ready to carry it. They don't even know that they need to carry it. They don't even know it's a thing. We have to be willing. We have to be ready. We have to be able. Matthew 10:38 says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." I want to be worthy. I'm not. I'm just not. Some of y'all are probably worthy, and I'm not. I know I'm not. But I know the greatest news in the world is I don't have to be. Because when I'm weak, he makes me strong. And he makes me worthy. He makes me. I don't deserve to take up the cross and follow him. I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it. I'm nobody. I've done nothing for him. In the grand scheme of things, when I compare my life to the great men of Scripture, the great men of the Bible, man, I've done nothing compared to them. I've done nothing compared to Billy Graham. I've done nothing compared to a majority maybe of the pastors in this town. I've done nothing compared to some of them. But I'm trying really hard to take up my cross and follow him. I'm trying really hard to carry that burden. I'm trying really hard because I know that this town needs a church. That needs a church that's active and alive and strong and carrying the cross to them and for them. This town needs more churches. We don't need less churches. We need more churches. We need more believers. We need more people that are reading these scriptures and saying, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever it costs me, however hard it becomes, I'm going to do that. We've got to be that church, because that's the church that Jesus is coming back for. That's the pure and spotless bride Jesus is coming back for. The church that is full of his Spirit and trying to carry out the work and trying to carry the cross and taking up that burden and trying to get those people around them to Jesus. That's the church that he's coming back for. And I believe he's coming back with all of my heart. I don't know when, but I know we're closer today than we were yesterday. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. It's hard not to look around at the ways of the world and the sinful nature that we have so fallen into and not think that we are on the cusp, on the verge of hearing that sound. It's hard not to believe that it's not coming. Soon and very soon, as we used to say. We often don't realize, or we have forgotten, how offensive the cross is to non-believers. How offensive it is. How they will get angry and frustrated if they just see a cross. Especially if you have one on you. If you're wearing a t-shirt with a cross on, if you're wearing a pendant, a necklace with a cross hanging on it, if you have it anywhere, they just are instantly offended. It's an offensive symbol to them. It should be more offensive to us. Why should it be offensive to us? Because it's my fault he was on it in the first place. Because it's my fault he ever had to hang on it. And that should offend me. because I have got to change my ways. And I've got to change my ways and follow more of His ways. And I've got to be more versed in His Word. And I've got to be more a person of prayer. And the church has got to be a house of prayer. And it's got to be a house of worship and a house of praise. And we've got to do better. And I have to lead better. And the cross has got to offend me. It's this weird dichotomy of loving it and being offended by it. I love it because my Savior died on it. I love it because if He had not died on it, He could not have been buried and He could not have been resurrected. It had to happen for you and for me to receive the salvation because we were not a part of the His original line of the original Jews. I'm not Jewish in any way. I can't trace my lineage back to David or to Levi or to any of the 12 tribes. I don't have it in me that I'm aware of. So He grafted me in by His death, burial, and resurrection. And I'm one of the reasons He even had to hang on the cross to begin. I should love it and be offended by it. But I'm offended at me, not at Him. Because it's the lawlessness in me. It's the rebellion in me. It's the part of me that doesn't want to follow, that wants to have my own way. We used to sing that song in this church. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Too often we sing, I'll have my way, Lord. I want my way. It should be a thing that is so conflicting inside of us. Because I love it. I love the cross. I'm nothing without the cross. I'm nothing without the cross and what happened on that cross for me. I'm nothing without it. Nothing without it. But I wish I didn't need it. I wish I had no sin in me and didn't need that. But I know I do. I know me. I know me. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus had no curse, no sin on Him. He didn't belong on the cross. He didn't belong on the cross. There's no reason for Him to be there. In fact, as we're going to study over the next few weeks, there was a guy on his right and a guy on his left. Both of them deserve to be there. Both of them. He didn't deserve it. Jesus didn't deserve to be on that cross. What had He done? What had He done? Nothing. Changed lives. Performed miracles. Healed. Preached. Built relationships with people. Led people to relationship with God. He had done everything positive. He had fed those who were hungry. Healed the blind. Healed the lame. Healed the mute. Lord, He had done so many things. Yet He found Himself on the cross under the curse. Should have been me. Should have been me. Yet Jesus became the curse of my sin. See? The positive thing here. The way I want to end this message, the way I want to end this is with the understanding that yes, it was offensive to them when He said, take up your cross. It should be offensive to us. And yes, We have the curse of sin. Every single one of us have the curse of sin. Every single one of us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For none are righteous, no, not one. That's on this Romans Road thing, if you'll ever want to study it. Romans Road to Salvation is what it's called. We're all sinners saved by His grace because of the cross. Yes, it's a curse. Yes, there's the cross was a curse. It was a curse. But it was also a blessing. And I want to end with the blessing. Because the blessing is that He had to die for me to be resurrected. He had to die for you and I. He had to be buried in the tomb, and then on the third day, He had to be resurrected. On the third day, He was raised back to life. On the third day, He had conquered everything that He had been sent to conquer. Everything He was supposed to do was done in that moment when He was resurrected and left the tomb. Everything He needed to accomplish, He had accomplished at that time. But it started on the cross. And the blessing started on the cross for us. Because without that, without the cross, we are still stuck in sin. We're still without a way to heaven. We're still searching for meaning. We're still searching for love. We're still searching for forgiveness and acceptance. Without the cross, we're still searching. Without the cross, we got no heaven. Heaven is out of reach for us without the cross. And I don't know how you feel. I want to make heaven. I want to make heaven because I believe in heaven. My Bible talks about streets of gold and mansions. And I believe somewhere in there, there's got to be a message about, I believe there's a message about a river. And I think that river has got big, beautiful fish in that we just get to catch all the time, right? Just anytime we want to. We don't even have to eat them. We don't even have to wait on them. They're just going to be ready, just ready to bite. Not even going to have to sit there and wait for your bobber to start dancing. You don't have to wait for any of that. It's just going to happen. In fact, you might even just walk up to the stream and they jump out into your net. I don't know. I just know heaven's going to be a beautiful place. But to get to that place, I got to accept and take up the cross. I got to put my life and my faith and my trust in Him. And I've got to trust Him not just when it's easy, but also when it's hard. And I've got to be willing. I've got to be willing. And there are moments coming for us in the next week where we're going to have the chance to carry the cross because somebody going to come across us. Easter's coming. Resurrection Sunday's coming. There are people that will step into church in the next few weeks that may never have stepped in before. And we're going to have chances. You're going to have chances at work. Something's going to come out in a conversation at work. And you're going to have your moment to carry the cross in that moment. And you'll be able to express to them that yes, I love the cross, and yes, it's a beautiful thing to me, but yes, it's also, I understand why it's offensive, because the cross was a curse. It represented a curse to all those that were seen carrying it, all those that were seen hanging on it, all those that were associated with Jesus and His life. I don't want to overlook it. I don't want to minimize it. I don't want to make it pretty. I want to present a positive message, but I know that the message can't always be pretty, even though it's positive. Because my Bible has some pretty ugly moments. But my Jesus is always beautiful. Because His love for me is unending, unwavering, unshakable, unstoppable. It is beyond measure. It is beyond comprehension. But man, His love for me that He poured out by taking up that cross so that someday when it's my turn, I can take up my cross and follow him and take up my cross and show it to others and take up my cross. Yes, yes, curse involved. But you know what? There's blessing involved too. And I want you to know that it's a blessing. It's a blessing to take up that cross. It's a blessing to take up that cross. I want to pray over the end of this service. And I want to pray over anybody struggling with their faith. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. And I'm going to pray that we can see the cross more clearly. I'm going to pray that we can see it and love it even when it offends us. Because there's something about the cross that offends us. I'm going to pray that as we're entering into the Easter season, that we'll see him magnified in our lives. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that we do not live in the easiest time to be a follower and to carry our cross. Lord, I know that there are those, many around us in our daily lives, in our work, in our personal lives, even in our families, Lord, that are not people of faith. That don't know or understand the message of the cross. That find the cross to be offensive. And Lord, there are even some of us that are struggling personally with our love for the cross. With our understanding of you and your word. Lord, and there may even be some of those that are not here today because of these very reasons. Whether for them or for their significant others, Lord. God, let faith increase in us. Let our faith in you, our trust in you, our knowledge of you, God, let it increase. Let us know you more, trust you more, love you more. Let us better understand that our Jesus took upon the cross, the curse of the cross for us. So that we don't have to carry it the way he carried it. That we don't have to suffer on the cross like he did. And let that understanding, that realization, spur in us a desire to take up the cross of Jesus and to carry it to others. Father, I pray that as we leave this place, our faith increases, our trust increases, our love increases. God, that we will know you better and love you more. Let the cross be on our mind the rest of this day and all of this week. Let us think about what the cross means to us and means for us. And let us have an opportunity to share that message with someone around us. That this Resurrection Sunday, this Easter Sunday, church will be alive with salvation and the heavens will rejoice God, as we leave here, we pray. Lord God, I pray a blessing upon everyone. Oh, Lord, that you will minister to all of our needs. You will hear all of our prayers, and you will answer them, and you will speak to us. In Jesus' name. Church, could I encourage you to enjoy the rest of your day? The weather is too nice to not do something outside, even if you just go stand out in the sun.